You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Okay, here we are live. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I had to connect my wonderful guests, make sure all was working. You know, can you think of it? Remember when you had used to see the dashboards, you know, the big things, and they put the plugs in? Well, I don't have to do that, but I do have to put a kind of a plug in. Anyways, my guest tonight is Sponda Macht and Macht. Macht is his name. But anyways, I'm going to tell you a few things. You just heard my little commercial that was done by a radio station that ran here in the Savannah area. I had two of them. I had a 60-second one, and this was a 30-second one. And Candy was thinking, oh, it'd be kind of nice to run it, and I think it is kind of nice to run it, although we don't like to hear our own voice, at least I don't, but it didn't sound too bad. I hope everybody enjoyed it. So I want to remind everybody, mysticlivingtoday.com is up, of course, and I will be going to authors for submissions, and if you have poetry, excerpts, just any kind of article, press releases, any kind of announcement, I'd be happy to put it in for you. Just email me at starscast, S-T-A-R-Z like in zebra, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. And you already heard that little thing about Star Psychics. We have something that we're working on. They're called Stars Tarot Cards. And then my own cards. And though the first batch is going to be up on Google App, I will certainly let everybody know about it. It's going to be really something. My webmaster contracted an illustrator, and he's been working with her, and then I've been doing the colors with her and all of that, and it's just going to be awesome. We're really excited. The only thing is it takes a long time to do it because you got to go back and forth and back and forth. And she's from Spain, so it's really kind of neat. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest in. Sponda, how are you tonight?
A little bit under the weather, but all divine.
Everything is
how are
divine
you?
Always. Oh, you're under the weather. I'm sorry. Well, that's because you're traveling so much, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Exactly. And oftentimes we don't sleep right, we don't eat right, we grab something here, we do this, you know, we don't get our usual rest. I know that,
yes.
I mean, I've been getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know what's going on, but let's talk all about you. Now, the last time I had you on the show was in February. Oh, my goodness. But that's not the last time you and I have talked. We've talked since then. And, you know, Jackie, my admin, said to me, she says, well, this is going to be a pleasant evening. I said, pleasant evening. It's going to be like a family reunion. It's like somebody that I've known forever. I that's how I feel with you. You're such an old soul, but you've been told that before. I know you feel solid, like kind of your feet on the ground, and you're going to always give the proper response. Me, I kind of like fly here and there. I don't really fly, but you know what I'm saying. You've talked to me enough, you know. I am, my feet are on the ground. It's just because of what I do, I have to be able to do this, this, and this. So, since February, what have you been doing? First of all, let's tell everybody about you. You're the founder of the Soul Based Living. It's a community based on teachings on meditation and your healing modalities, Supreme Bright Light. We could start at the very beginning. I'm sure there's some people out there that didn't listen to the first interview, February 6th. Can you imagine that long ago? I've known you a long time. That's pretty good. So let's start with the very beginning. How did all of this transpire for you, Sponda?
Well, from the beginning. Well, certainly I had my experiences as a child, but I want to talk about how different challenges brought me to where I am today. Certainly I had my awakening as a toddler. That was one experience of light and energy when I was about 4 years old, and I had this awakening experience that had a phenomenon of light and energy, but also an increase in, or maybe just opening of consciousness. This is really hard for me to talk about because I'm having to look at it through the lens of who I am now and how I didn't have the
words
as a four-year-old. So it's a difficult translation process, trying to think of the four-year-old version of me who had very little vocabulary about this and the current me who will turn 56 December 19. So that's an interesting shift in energy. But I was thinking recently, Natalie, about other things besides this awakening. That really helped me to grow, which were actually at the time challenges. For example, my alcoholism when I was in my teens and how I transcended that over time, where I was avoiding my psychicness and felt overwhelmed by how much energy and information I was receiving. And I started drinking and drinking and drinking. And I found that was an excellent way to shut off the psychicness. But I was also sick all the time because I was drinking too much. And so finally, about 24, I stopped drinking. And part of this is simply to say we all go through great challenges and we don't know how people have suffered. They may look like they're in great shape now or something going on, but we don't know what happened to them. And we can't see their pain. Some people we can. You know, if someone has a speech impediment, you know, we can hear that. If someone has trouble, you know, seeing and they communicate that. But people have challenges that we can't see and they have a past that we don't know about. So always wonder, well, what's going on with this person? And they also have victories we don't know about.
Right.
We're all having different kinds of victories. And then the other thing, so the awakening light as a toddler, and then I went through this long period of time where I was trying to suppress my psychicness through alcoholism. I transcended that, but I got very little relief because I immediately went into depression. And I had years of depression, which I finally healed with meditation. And so these things led me to meditation. Meditation led me to a deeper life. And what I was really thinking to share with you is, if I didn't have those challenges, because I also had childhood asthma and I was in and out of the hospital. So I had three big challenges, in and out of the hospital as a child, all the time. Then second challenge, alcoholism. Third challenge, depression. So this took me until my late 20s, let's say 27, I don't remember exactly. So all that time, big challenge, second big challenge, third big challenge, but it was leading me to the healing that I experienced through meditation. And so I really wanted to make that clear that that psychic boy that I was, that was getting information and giving people energy and information and answers, even as a little child, that didn't save me from this childhood illness, from the alcoholism or the depression, but meditation was healing for me. And then one of the things besides meditation that helped me a lot was being in service. And I discovered that it's very hard to be depressed when you're helping other people.
That's absolutely
true. Because you're out of your selfishness. I had crippling suicidal depression, so I'm not going to belittle it. I know what it's like. If someone says, well, you don't know what it's like, I do know what it's like. And I still say that depression is basically lethal selfishness. So it's what is happening in the mind of someone that is depressed is me, me, me. I feel bad. I'm sad. I had a trauma. I can't get over it. I feel terrible today. And there's two kinds of depression. There's the psychological kind and there's the biochemical kind. They're two totally different kinds of depression. And those are things we could spend months or certainly at least weeks talking about. Just depression. And maybe that could be good for people. But just very briefly, I had, I believe I had psychological depression. I can't be sure. You know, I can't be sure. I'm self-diagnosing. But in any case, meditation helped a lot to quiet my mind. And then the second part was being of service. And I just took myself out of my neurotic me, and how sad I am and how I'm feeling. Now, so you might say, what is the depressed person sad about? Well, you see, nothing's wrong. Now, of course, there could be something wrong. They could have a financial challenge, interpersonal challenge, any kind of health challenge. Health challenges can sometimes make people depressed. But many depressed people, if you say, oh, what's so terrible? There isn't anything so terrible happening. It's basically an illness of the mind. And ordinary things are making them feel very bad. So it's not that, oh, you're depressed, something terrible might be happening. No, this is something happening in the mind, as if the mind is having a kind of a fever or something. Something's off. And ordinary life is unlivable, or it's too difficult to cope with this, because my intellectual mind was fully functioning at the time of the depression. So my logical mind said, today nothing is wrong, I'm fine. But I have this feeling I can't get over. That's a negative feeling. And depression helped a lot with that, to clear that negative feeling. And then being of service, I took myself out of the me. You cannot be depressed if you're focusing on others. And I'm not saying it's going to be instantaneous. As soon as you help serve, you're going to not, you know, have the depressed thought. But over time, you basically rewire your mind. And think about people saying thank you. And people say thank you to you, Natalie, maybe more than you know. And if people are saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, it's hard to be depressed in that moment. Not impossible. Some people still do that. And there's biochemical depression, which I think is even worse. And sometimes people do need medication, even though I'm not a medication person. Sometimes people do need medication, and they certainly need therapy, and they need community, and they need support. But this is something we should talk about, because our society needs a lot of mental health. I think we need a mental health renaissance or revolution or something like that.
Yeah, you know, and you can, you know, people say, oh, gosh, or like even, we'll use me, you're so happy all the time. No, I'm not. You can, you know, well, you've got two beautiful sites, and you started this, and you started that, and all these people and all of that, but it's not a perfect world. I mean, you do have other things. Now, I think you're so accurate, and I'm wondering, I have to ask this question, I'm wondering if a lot of people who have abilities really go through a type of depression at some point. Because, you know, think about it. You have to step out of your space here. You've got to, and people that have abilities are very usually, I won't say always, usually very giving people. They will give of themselves to you. You do it, I do it. But then they don't, like you said, they don't even know if there's something might be going on with you. They have no idea. But it's true, Sponda, that when you get out of that, some people call it a pity party. If you get out of that and start helping people, yeah, I mean, you don't even look back. You don't even think about how you were an hour ago. That is so true. But the problem is how do you do for people? You know, there's people that are not fortunate like you and I. I interact with lots of people, so do you. So, you know, we keep getting pulled. If we have a bad day or something or bad moments or whatever, we get pulled out. Somebody needs me for this. Somebody needs you for that. You've got to be over here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It happens. But that doesn't mean it's perfect for you, because it's not. I know it's not for me. And so those people out there that have, like you said, it's a clinical depression. You know, there's several kinds, and some people really need like a group therapy kind of thing. I chose not to do a one-on-one with a therapist because I went through an awful lot for a long, many, many, many years. But I chose not to, and you know why? It's really
why?
Stupid, probably. I chose not to because I felt I was surrounded by so many people who loved me that all I had to do was talk to them.
And
I didn't want to go and rake over it all again because I'd come out of there hysterical for every week, you know what I'm saying? It was just like too much for me. I'd already been through, so it's an individual thing. But there are people out there that really need to go one-on-one with somebody or in a group, you know, but it's got to be your choice. But like you did it through meditation. I meditate every day also. And I really think that centers me. It aligns me. I mean, I can get out. I mean, I could be sitting there and feel like nothing. And then I meditate and I get up and like, okay, what do I do now? Who do I talk to? What do I need to conquer? Okay, God, give it to me now. Tell me what to do. I mean, I could be like, pardon my French, hell on wheels. Because that's how strong I get. You get strong. And I keep telling people to meditate. It's so important. Just sit there and be quiet. Be quiet. Turn your phone off. Turn the TV off. All that. Sit outside and meditate. Now, I know you do a lot of that. I know you do a lot of that.
I do.
And and your life probably would be very chaotic. You know, so basically you had all of this when you were growing up. What an ordeal that must have been for you. But
absolutely.
But you walked through that door and you came out and look at you now. It doesn't mean that you're not gonna slip. It doesn't mean that I'm not gonna have a bad day. That doesn't happen. It's not a perfect world.
Mm.
I really wish it was. You and I, if we could wave our magic wands, we'd make it all good for everybody. I know you would, and I know I
yes.
would. So,
yes.
You know, I mean, I even have a wand, too, that somebody sent me. But, yeah, it's a real wand, but I have to put it away because my cat, he just loves to chew on it all the time, so I can't let him do that. I can't let him ruin my magic wand. So now how are you applying all of this to what you're doing now?
Yes. So one thing that's occurring for me to share is about success. Now, I know people say, you know, we're talking about success, the S word, or you can call it prosperity or you can call it whatever you want. But we can, if there's buzzwords there that people don't like or, they're focusing on money or something like that. It really means whatever the person wants to get to their joy, their bliss. It could be that they want to graduate from college or they want to get healthier or whatever you're wanting to succeed at. And for some people, I think it's kind of a tribe that they really find it fun and exciting to become more financially prosperous. And these are people, it's just a different hobby. Like people like stamp collecting. There are people that like to read books about financial prosperity. There's people that like to go to a seminar or expo about it. And it's just what they're into. And other people are into, needlework or something else. It's great.
Right.
I just kind of look at it like that. So that's just their thing. And so whatever it is that we're wanting to succeed toward, I was really thinking there's many things. People succeed in many ways. But there's one kind of real common denominator I haven't heard too many people talk about, and that is managing stress. Highly successful people manage their stress. And if you don't manage your stress, the person will find a way to self-sabotage and they'll plateau. They won't go past a certain level of getting closer and closer to their dreams. So whether that's having a business and you have to deal with all these employees or whatever else is going on, or you're doing a business where you're importing something from another country or whatever you're doing, you have to deal with all these things coming at you sometimes every day. Especially when you have a new business. I always tell new business owners, a new business is a baby, and it's going to wake you up at 3 a.m, just like a baby, and you have to deal with it. And I have a kind of theory about developmental stages of business, and it's supposed to grow up. It's not supposed to wake you up at 3 a.m. in its third year, fourth year, eighth year, 10th year. I say, it's still a baby. How come it's not walking, talking, moving? Also, businesses become like a teenager. and they start becoming what they want to be. It's like, oh, I didn't know my business was going to do that. It's changing. It's not what I thought at first. It's like a teenager. It's going to do its own thing. It becomes its own thing. And then eventually the business grows up and you don't have to watch it 24/7. You don't have to walk it out. You know, you don't have to watch it while it's crossing the street. And eventually when you get older, hopefully children can help us. And maybe some even choose to take care of their parent. So when a person gets older, the business takes care of them because it's going smoothly. It could be your retirement. So I kind of have that kind of, and just having fun. I'm just having playful fun with looking at it as like developmental stages like that. But before we get to that, there's the baby business when you're first starting something, or maybe your business is going through a new phase of beginning. And you have to manage the stress. So you can have everything else going, but if you can't manage the psychological game, there's going to be the success failure. And that's whether you're creating a business, if you're a self-employee. A self-employee is where if you go on vacation, the money stops. A business owner, money comes in if they create a good system, a good business system. And then there's investors, and that's a perfectly valid way of making a living. I know we don't tell kids, oh, you know, you could be an investor. You're good at money, or you're looking at all these, patterns. And but, you know, it could be, you know, we could say to a teenager, well, maybe you have the aptitude to be an investor. Maybe that's what your living is. Sometimes people have to find that later, sometimes even after college. They're usually numbers people, but not always. Often just people that have an innate ability to understand patterns and systems. And of course, there's employees. There's some people that, you know, that's just what they want to be. They want to be in that field, and that's what they want to do. And they're a great team member for whoever the owner is, and that's beautiful. We need those people.
Yeah.
But successful people, whether you're an employee or in any of those other things, these people manage stress. And this is going back to the theme of about overcoming these challenges, including mental health challenges and all this, and or psychology or emotions or whatever. And growing to the point where we can psychologically handle the level of work that we're seeing is our path. So it's, you know, what challenge is the person putting themselves into? And do you know what you're getting yourself into? You know, if you're going to win an Olympic gold medal, do you know how much exercising and how much you have to watch your diet and how much training you're going to do?
Right, yeah.
You know, what are you getting yourself into? If you're starting your own pizza parlor, what are you getting yourself into? How are your, you know, how many employees you're going to have? All that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know that. You're a business owner.
Yeah, you know, mine, I'm trying to think. Well, that was Planet Stars. That was just, you know, basically that was something that was, it was a site, but I did an awful lot on America Online. But when I started Stars, Mystic Living Today, we can go with that. I mean, I don't have employees for that. It's just me. I do all the work myself. But that's one of my great achievements, and I really love it. You know, now Stars, all I had to do was bring on one gentleman. He found me, and he brought me so many people at one time. I bet you I had 200, maybe even more than 200 people working for me.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, this is really great. But Sponda, all it did was create more havoc. It meant
yes.
I had to deal with all these people, all 200 of them.
Right.
I think there was even more. I'd have to ask Jackie, but I think there were even more in the very beginning. And it just turned 8 years old. So eventually, though, see what happens as you, they're kind of employees, but they're really not. They're independent contractors. But they eventually, if they weren't getting enough work, they dropped off, which was okay for me. Because it lessened my load. It made it easier for me. But remember, it was new. So all of this was new. I mean, like, oh, wow. Talk about a pizza parlor. I was doing something I knew a lot. I knew a lot about business because I had another business before that, you know, a brick-and-mortar one, but nothing like this. That really was a big challenge for me. I had great people that worked with me. But you know what? I couldn't really count on any of them then. Now I have several people that are just beautiful, but then, no. They, you know, they just, I tried to do a magazine then, couldn't do it then, just tried to do it off of Stars, couldn't do it like that. I mean, it was just chaos. It wasn't a good thing. And then I just launched the magazine on its own. It's got its own website. But, you know, every business online or if it's brick and mortar is challenges. Oh, my goodness. Starting up is like tremendous. It's a lot of stress. But, you know, yeah. I didn't feel that much stress as if I were doing like a store someplace. It wasn't that bad, although I wanted people to come in. But you take a lot of risks when you begin something like that. Just anything that's brand new, don't you think? And you probably have done it too. Anything that's new, you're sure, but you're not really 100% sure because you just don't know. There's going to be things that come along the way that are going to throw you off that path. And you're going to think, wow, I didn't even think of that one. No, you didn't.
Mm.
But challenges with a business, and we know what that's like. Would I recommend somebody do a site like mine again? No. The reason being is, I'll tell you why. You know, I had a lot of floor experience when I started Stars. I wasn't brand new. So by having all the floor experience, I kind of knew. I knew to interview. I knew all of these things. But if you're coming in brand new, I would tell you you're going to need a lot of money. I had money that I could invest to have Tony build the site, build my chat rooms that I own myself individually. Everybody's got their own, and I own each and every one of them, and I can have 5,000 of them if I want. It's startup money, and you have to put in long hours. And you have to get out there, I did, and put yourself everywhere, which is what I did, exactly, all by myself. I put us in, I can't even remember all the things. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So you're talking about all the challenges, and I know what they're like. I don't know what yours are like, and you don't really know what mine are like, but it's a beautiful world, though, isn't it? It's got a lot to offer if you want to do the work. It really does. You can sit back and smile and say, you know, wow.
Well, there's also the awakening. So while I had this awakening as a child, and there were the ebbs and flows, it wasn't just, oh, I've had an awakening and I'm happy now, and it never departed. I mean, it had ebbs and flows, but I did the work, the meditative work, and let me say it this way. There's this awakening, but we have to also deal with who is awakening. So we have this greater awakening of a bigger universe and become closer to God, closer to love. But it doesn't heal everything instantaneously. We still have to do the work. We still have to do, you know, what is the anger, fear, and limiting beliefs we need to subtract? So it's not just enough that there's this energy, this awakening, this perception, or feeling more love or more connected to oneness or God, but also that subtractive process. Like, I have to deal with my stuff. And it doesn't have to be depression. It just could be just angers, fears, and limiting beliefs that we have to train ourselves out of. You know, neurotic thinking. I've had people tell me, oh, somebody's jealous of me. And I said, that's what you're doing with your time. You're thinking about who's jealous of you. That's the best thing you can do right now is think about who's jealous of you. If you can't think anything good for yourself, anyone who's listening, there's really nothing to think. You can't think of anything positive to think about yourself. You can think something positive for someone else. And that's much better use of time than this person's jealous of me. So it's really watching our thoughts, and this requires discipline. Am I doing something useful or at least harmless in this moment? I think of the mind as like a VIP space. It's got velvet ropes around it. You don't just let any thought in. So I think to people that think things like somebody's jealous of me, I think, wow, you don't have any security guard. Any ill thought can come in. You know, And maybe we can care about ourselves enough, that love ourselves enough to say, why don't I think the best thoughts? How about if I create a VIP space? And if a thought is not good, and a lot of people don't realize they get to choose, you can think another thought. So I'll give you an example. My brain comes up with three solutions for a problem. I can do A, B, or C. It's okay to say none of the above. Maybe someone has a better idea than me. Maybe tomorrow I'll think a better idea. So it's okay to not take our minds so seriously. It could be worrying about nothing. It may be just because it only has those three choices, that doesn't mean that's the only choices. And when our mind says silly things like, oh, that person's jealous of me, that's just, you know, who cares? And also we're misinterpreting people. You know, someone said, oh, that person's really angry with me. And I said, no, they just have indigestion. It has nothing to do with you.
I like that.
Yeah. They have heart. They're having a, what do you call it? Like an acid reflux or something. They have gas. That's that facial expression. It's not they hate you. So the reason I'm being playful with all of this. The reason I'm bringing this up is we can get fancy with deep spiritual issues, conversation, philosophical, and all of this. But really, people need one more basic practical piece of information, and that is that we're free. And then people, that doesn't soothe people very much, because they say, well, great, I'm free, but I want to feel free. What does that feel like? You know, peace, I'm not worrying all the time or something. And so feeling free, first of all, it starts with I'm free, and part of freedom is choice. So I can choose not to think those thoughts. Now, just like it takes time to heal out of depression, it's not instantaneous. It takes time for us to stop thinking petty thoughts, stop thinking negative, stop being fearful. It's not going to happen immediately, but it can happen in about 9 days if we seriously practice, because it takes time, even if there's these books that say change something in 20 days. I think 20 days is too short to change your wires in your brain, that what the scientists call your synapses. So when we do, let's say you're playing tennis, if you play tennis every day, you're going to start to get better and better. And also, your mind says, oh, we're doing this every day. So it becomes automatic.
Right.
Just like we drive a car.
I used to play tennis, so I can tell you that's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Like when we're driving our car, you don't have to think about every little thing. Like, oh, where am I supposed to put my hand on the wheel? You know, people are doing their eyelashes while they're driving. So you shouldn't do that. But all of this becomes automatic. And how much else is automatic? Your heart's beating. You don't have to tell your heart to beat. Your lungs are breathing. Your blood's pumping. You don't have to tell your blood what pressure to pump at. So much of what we do is automatic in our body, in our mind. And we create patterns. We can create negative patterns, like, oh, that person's jealous of me. We can make a positive pattern. Like, you know, I'm choosing happiness today. So freedom is choice, but we have to go through a 90-day process of deconditioning. You can't just say, I'm going to be positive from now on, because there's an ocean of negative thoughts that were the pattern. And so we have to stop the negative pattern, and while we're also making the new pattern, the new positive pattern. It takes time, but it's worth it. If a person puts a focused intention and time of about 90 days into it, they can make a new habit. And I think this is a revolution, is make new habits. Because the body and mind are making habits by default. Oh, I didn't intend to make that habit, but there it is. Well, we can make habits on purpose, good habits.
That is really true. You know what? We have some people that are calling in. How about
okay.
You talk a little bit, And let me get to these new people. Maybe somebody has a question. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I would love it.
Okay.
How's that sound? All right, so
that
I will
amazing.
Be right back. So everybody that's on hold here, I'm coming to you right now. So go ahead, Sponda. It's all yours.
Okay. So someone's going to ask a question. Oh, I think what she meant to say is she's going to be right back because she's bringing someone online. So that's what it is. Well, first of all, I forgot to say love and blessings at the beginning. That was I will blame my congestion. I have a little bit of a stuffy nose, so I forgot. I'll use that as an excuse. I forgot to say love and blessings. Wherever you are, the fun thing about it is you might be listening to this audio, you know, 20 years from when it was created. It's created in the summer of 2019, if you're wondering, if you hear this later. And it's September the 18th. That's 2019. I'm in Pasadena, California. So that's where this is coming from and the time is coming from. And you may be listening to this years from now, or you're listening from some other place. Another time zone, for example. And Natalie's in another time zone. I believe she's near Savannah, the outskirts of Savannah, but we can double check with her if that's where she is today. So we'll have someone come in with some questions here in a little bit. And this modern technology where I'm doing this on my phone. So one of the things that I do are readings, energetic or what we could call psychic readings for people. And I started out doing audio cassette many years ago. That might put a timestamp on my starting all these things. But I can be very more specific. The first readings I was doing was as a toddler. But when I began to do them, let's say, professionally, it was 1989. And that was a while ago. So I went through many years of doing audio cassette. Then when they stopped making audio cassettes, I was doing CD. CDs, so what am I talking about? Making a recording the audio of the reading that I do for people. And when I do a reading, I start with an affirmation. And then the person's spirit guides, sometimes their ancestors, start talking. And I'm just the microphone. And that's usually about an hour. But I also do something called soul portrait, where
oh, yes, I'm
painting
back, a watercolor painting.
Oh, yes, I'm
back, and I can tell you about painting. That. I can tell you about that. Go ahead. You tell them what it is, but I'll elaborate.
Well,
some.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, yeah. So the I'm doing a watercolor painting of the person's energy. And so I'm not the only one that does this. There's a few other people out there that do paintings. In England, it's usually called spirit painting more. I call it soul portrait. Mine is not so illustrative. It doesn't really look like the person. I think of it as more like Picasso or more like a cave painting or a children's painting. There's an outline. It's very primitive looking. And I think I like the primitiveness of it because it gets more to the psyche. And it's very archetypal. I also tell people that the soul portrait is, imagine a giant tarot card. If any of you know about tarot, there's a lot of symbolism, archetypes. And so the color and shape of the lines in the watercolor is what I'm reading. For the person, you might say, what on earth is he talking about? It's hard to visualize. Maybe I have to make a video. But I'm just to make it more simple, I'm making a watercolor painting of the person's energy. And then I'm reading that painting. And then that person's spirit guides and ancestors usually want to say something. And so I let them talk. And they'll just keep talking and talking. So I sometimes have to tell them, okay, that's enough. Thank you. And then I put my two cents in and and that people also have questions about their life. And so the soul portraits, I do them for couples, for children. I did one of a horse once. The person said, I want my horse to have a soul painting. Deceased loved ones. I did one for a missing person. Many different ways, and just many individuals. I did a soul portrait for a trust fund. I said, what's going on? Oh, we're having this terrible fight in the trust. We all want the money. Everybody's suing everybody, including the lawyers and the trust. And I said, well, if this challenges the trust, we'll do a reading of the trust. Now, of course, there's who started the trust. So 100 years ago, these two brothers started the trust, and I did a reading about that to clear that energy. And so what my point being, when you get the painting, the watercolor, the reading, the audio, then I'm sending the painting to you, and I've mailed them all over the world, China, South Africa, everywhere. There's the energy in the painting. And so you put the painting in your home. I have someone put the painting in their kitchen, in their home, their office, everywhere. And there's energy there. And it's simply also just reminding you of your soul energy, which is really easy to forget. Yeah, there's something more going on, and the painting is a reminder. Anyway, I felt like sharing about that.
Well, with mine, we talked, you recorded it, and then you sent it to me, and it's this big, mine was big piece of paper. And as he's talking to me, he's painting at the same time, and you're, you know, I think we were on, I could see you at the same time. I think it was audio-visual at the same time, Spanda. And I could see him making these swirls, and I'm thinking, holy cow, is this really going to be me? Is this really my spirit? Boy, she's out of control. But it was beautiful. And then you sent it to me. But more importantly, the colors can be different for everybody. Mine had reddish and bluish, like a blue-green in them. It's in my other office. I have two offices. At first you'll look at it and you'll say, well, what is this? I mean, does this make any sense at all? But if you listen to the recording, it makes a lot of sense because he'll talk to you about it, and it's just really very beautiful, and everybody should have one done once. That's my, really, you should. Have a reading by you because you can hear his voice. See how mine is a high pitch. I always think mine is like a high pitch, but his is so calming and feet on the ground and just strength. There's a lot of inner strength in him. And there is in me, too. I mean, you just really don't see it. I mean, you just probably think, oh, God, listen to her talk. She never stops. Well, that's true. But I can be very shy. I mean, people think, you shy? Oh, yes, I can. I really can. I've done it. I don't even know why. Something comes over me. Maybe if I, like, you remember when we were going to do the event, you said, well, we're going to get you on the stage. No. And there was... They were going to drag me there, and I kept thinking to myself, oh, my God. And then I thought to myself, oh, you'll do fine. All you got to do is look at somebody and talk to them. That's all. You pick somebody in the audience and you talk to them. And it was true. But anyways, yes, everybody should get this, a soul portrait from you. Can they get it from your site? Because I have that pulled up right now.
Yeah. I'm updating the website, so the exact link is not ready, but I will do that tonight. So if anybody looks tomorrow,
which will be the 19th. Okay, I have soulbasedliving.us. Is that different? Spawn, is that different?
No. Okay. No, that's right. There's a specific area of the website, and I'm actually going to bring that up right now. So
I'm
the modern technology
the
that we have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is
well,
really something because
you.
we can do this while we're in an interview. Which I think is pretty cool. I'm just thinking
and
back to...
And I don't regard this even
when I started doing this, there was no internet.
I'm talking to a dear friend, Sponda, not even, you know, that's... Anyways, but yeah, okay, so it's going to be all changed? So if you go to Soul Base...
Well, I'm just doing... Well, there's certainly some adaption. Yeah, there's certainly some adaption. So soulbaseliving.us, and then on the page, which is energy healing, if you scroll down, you say, why did you put it on the energy healing page? Because it is energy healing. It's a soul portrait. It's a psychic reading, but it's for energy. It's for energy and information. And if you scroll down, there's it says soul portraits, and there's a kind of a picture of one of the soul portraits.
There's
a button to
and
press
if you
on
see
there that,
that
I haven't created
mine,
yet.
I can't say it's going to be just like that, but there'll be some. I didn't have a crown. Now, Sponda, why didn't you give me a crown?
before I answer that, I want to just say about the website. This page is for information, and then you can go to the contact page and just send me a message. Hi, and this is from Natalie's show, and we can start communicating. Just send me a message on from the contact page. But I'm going to add some more information.
Okay,
crown. So it is just different archetypes. Different archetypes. And while you're certainly a leader, as you said, you're not the kind of person like, hey, I want to be, you're not tripping other people up to try to get to the stage. You know, you're not like, hey, I want to be there. Get out of my way. That's not in your nature. You're not trying to be the one that everyone's, listening to or have the spotlight. And so that's just a different energy. There's different kinds of leaders. And you're very much more nurturing, and you like being a little bit more in the background. And I think I call that kind of person an administrator.
Yeah.
You like to make sure everything's going smoothly and you don't need to be on stage. Though I think you have an amazing voice and presence and story, but there are people like me that I like being on stage. Now, I've been on stage for decades, and sometimes I just tell the other person, oh, you be on stage. I've heard myself talk enough. But if someone wants me to be on stage, I'm very comfortable. I'm very, very comfortable with the lights and the audience, and I feel like, yeah, this is fine.
Right.
Or actually, I think it's fun. I think it's fun. I'm very comfortable there. But there are different archetypes. The crown is the color purple, and that so the energy of the crown is responsibility and authority. And one thing that might be fun in the future is for us to go through, we won't tell people everything, but go through your watercolor and just talk about the soul painting and the colors and what they mean and stuff. And we'll leave out some of the details because it's your personal painting. But that would be fun because people are probably thinking, what's going on? He's making a painting, and why is he making a painting? And so I'm actually reading what is the archetypes and the symbology in the images and the color vibration. And what is the deeper meaning? And so the reason I make this audio tape, which is about an hour long for someone's reading, could be 90 minutes, could be more if they have lots of questions. I'm saying so much about the painting. And then people say, that's great, but I'm not going to be able to remember all that. It's like, well, you have the audio recording. And also there's a message from spirit, which has nothing to do with the painting. And that can be very long, and that's on the audio. And I tend not to do shorter readings. I really want to go deeper. I want to answer people's questions. I want to get to the important things. So people say, do you do short readings? Do you do mini readings? No. There's millions of people that do that. I don't do that. My readings are an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And we go deep, and there's healing. That's just, everyone has a different way. That's my way.
Exactly. And I am getting mine right now. Oh, Sponda. I have a star right on my chest. I have a star. I have a star sitting there. That kind of makes sense since, I have stars. And not that it means anything, that I'm on top of the world and way up there or anything like that. But it has a star. And then it has like a letter G below it, kind of spaced down. But I didn't have a crown, but I had a star. I'll take it. I will take it. So, for example, what does a star mean? Like for me, we'll touch base on that just a little bit, and then we'll do this in more depth because there's a lot here.
Yes.
So what does a star mean for me, Spanda, on my portrait?
Okay, so the star for you is reaching for the stars. So the star always means reaching for the star, which is high aspiration, sometimes idealism. Reaching for the light, going closer to the light, light of God. But there's also another meaning, which is star. So it's in the heart. It's star heart. So it means you have some spirit guides that are not from here. They're from other parts of the universe, from other solar systems, other dimensions. And they're from more far away, different. And so that's always shows that there's a star. It depends on where the star is. And then this is this unique way that you're interacting and bringing these energy from these other spirit guides from this other, you know, distant part of the galaxy or the universe, dimension, as you said. And it's coming through the heart. So it's a different way of the heart that's specific to your spirit guides, and they're offering this heart healing and empowerment from where they are through you to this world. So we are conduits for new good energies to come from work. Whoever we're connected to. I mean connected to in the spirit world. The spirit guides that are helping us help everybody else.
Makes sense. And I was right. It does have a lot of red and purple, deep purple, like a, you know, that purple that's this high spiritual purple. That's there. And blue. I have flowing hair off to the side, kind of like you can see. I mean, it's really beautiful. But to have it, you really need it done with you doing the reading, because then it makes a lot of sense. Because just to receive it, you're not going to make much. I saw the star. That made me just sit on top of the world. Okay, I got my star. I don't need a crown. Mm-hmm. Who needs a crown? I have a star. You know? but it's beautiful. It really is. And it's soothing. And it makes you feel really good. And it is, you want to look at it and think, that's my soul. That's what he got from me. It's amazing. It's amazing how you do this. Very worthwhile. So you need to go to his site, and you can still send him a message, because that's there. So you go to soulbasedliving.us, and there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, on the contact page and say, hello. And then we can begin the conversation. And I'm also traveling, so I sometimes come to people. What happened when I went to Norway was someone got a soul painting from me and reading in Orange County, California. There's many Orange Counties all over the country. People say Orange County, which one? From what country? What state? There's one in New Jersey also. Orange County, California. I think we were in Newport, but it might have been Costa Mesa. Anyway, this is years ago. And, did a reading. And so she took it home to Norway, northern Norway. And for some reason, she decided to put it in her kitchen, the paintings in her kitchen. And so she had people come over for tea and coffee from the neighborhood. She liked to say, come on over. Come have tea. Come have coffee. And people said, what's that? What's that painting? Oh, I got that from Spanda. Can I get one? And so one day I get a call. Hey, I've got a bunch of people that want to see you. You have to come on over. I thought, whoa, well, we've got some logistics. I've got to fly there and this and that. And so we did it. So it can be whether it's Savannah or Norway or Japan. I've gone to Japan 7 times. And I'll be going my 8th time to Japan in May. I'm bringing a group of people there for meditation and healing. And one of the things
I'm so happy for
is traveling more.
I'm happy for you, because that's your love. That's what you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm Sagittarius.
Yeah.
We like to travel.
Yeah, I'm
Sagittarius.
Yeah.
So that's the new shift. Yeah. The more there's traveling with groups of people to sacred sites, beautiful places, also just having fun. Traveling, and I'm working on putting together a trip to invite people with me to Paris. And it's a lot of work, but that's going to be fun and exciting. So we've been trying to put together December 15, and we'll be there for about a week. That one's a little bit shorter because people have to come home and have their holiday. But the one in Japan, I think there's going to be an option for people to be there a week or a week and a half, or if they want to stay longer, 2 weeks. I'll be there 2 weeks. And, you know, as we go forward, I can give more details. But it's also creating a grid of light around the world through our travel, because we're going to do meditation in these places and bring healing and have fun.
Yeah, see all these places. I've never been out of the country, out of the United States. Can you imagine that? Never.
Well, there's so many beautiful things in the U.S. as well.
Well, there is, you know, and I live in a beautiful state. Everybody knows where I'm in South Carolina. And,
yeah.
I originally lived in Michigan. I always call it the land of ice and snow. I hated it. Oh, I hated it. summers were too short. Winters were too long.
Yeah.
You know, but I was fortunate and blessed, I should say, that I could come here. My son was here, and then I got here. And there's nothing like Carolina mornings. If you haven't been here, you need to come. Same thing with Savannah. It's the same kind of weather. One day we'll get you in Savannah, Sponda. One day, right?
Oh, I'd love it. Mostly because I'd get to hang out with you. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'll keep you on your toes, you can bet.
Yep, yeah.
Never a dull moment with me.
I know we're running out of time, but just briefly, I wanted to say I just went to Utah. I spent a few days there, and I got to go to Park City, and I got to go to a place called Arches that has these rock formations that look like an alien planet. It was really cool.
Wow.
That was a recent adventure. I just came back from Utah a couple of days ago, and it's beautiful. Park
now,
City
Japan
was
has an awful lot of creativity there, a lot of works of art, the islands that are right off, right? Isn't that true? I mean, I don't
know
if I'll ever get a chance to go there, but I read about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Pottery. I love Japanese pottery. And actually part of the trip in May will be going to a place called Miho Museum, which I love to bring people to. I love it so much, I say to people, if you just get on the plane, it's outside of Kyoto, go to Miho Museum, next day get on the plane and come back, it's still worth it. That's how nice it is. But we won't do that. We'll stay a few days in Kyoto area. I love that area. And then we're going to spend a lot of time in Tokyo. Tea and pottery and different kinds of things, the textiles and the kimonos and all these things. There's a lot of beauty in the arts for certain.
Yeah. I've read about them. Yeah. One day I'll get out of the country. I don't know where I'll go, but one day I will. I hope, anyways. You know, I hope so.
Yep.
You know, you sometimes, you know, the divine has plans for us, and we have to do this, and this, or we don't get to do this, and this. But I think if you set forth your idea on what you would really like to do, and you believe, that's the big thing. You got to believe. Then it'll come to you. But I have enjoyed this time with you so much. I knew it was going to be great.
Thank you, Natalie.
You know, sometimes when you interview, and I don't feel this was an interview, when you talk to people and you've never met them before, sometimes it's a little tough. I have to, like, pull stuff out of them. I'm not really – can you imagine me having trouble pulling things out of people? I really don't have that kind of trouble. I had to interview an opera star. She's a singer, and, you know, she does operetta, and I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be so hard. Oh, it was so easy. We hit it off so well. And, you know, it's nice to be able to have people listen to two people talk that generally care about each other, even if they don't even know each other. They've never met, but they know. Now, they know that you're my dear friend, and they know right away from the get-go.
Yes.
And it makes for nice listening because it's soothing. We soothe them for the whole hour. We make them feel good about themselves in some way, no matter what it is we do. And We will do this again. I want to hear about all your trips and all this. My goodness, how am I going to keep up with you? I don't know.
Well,
but I'm very happy
for you. Lots of
love
and blessings. It's awesome
yes,
to speak
same
with you,
to you.
Natalie,
and so as I always end my show, and everybody knows, I'll talk to you soon, Sponda. Love you.
Love
as
you
I
too.
Always end my show, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night, and I will see you next week. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.